You know, on Sunday we began a new series because next weekend is Easter weekend, isn't it? And we know that Jesus did something spectacular and significant and also, you know, eternally consequential at Easter. Because I believe that it is actually, if not the most consequential event for humanity, Easter, because that would determine, you know, our response to what Christ did at Easter would determine where we will spend eternity. You know, God designed us not to die. You see, humanity was designed never to die. When God made Adam and Eve, they were supposed to live on this earth forever. So the Garden of Eden was supposed to continue. What you have in Eden, paradise, because Eden, you know, we call Eden paradise. That was supposed to continue eternally until Adam and Eve disobeyed God. So it was their disobedience that brought all we have today. And so God needed to restore that relationship again. And because God's desire when he made us is so that we can spend eternity with him. God is an eternal God. Hallelujah. And so he has to restore us back. And in order to restore us, he had to send his son Jesus. Amen. I'll actually be breaking that more. I'll be explaining more around that area. I don't want to get sidelined from what I have for us tonight. But I will talk more detail why that had to happen on Sunday. Why did it have to happen? We'll look more in detail. But we said on Sunday, Galatians 3, in verse 13, we said that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, humanity, because of sin, because of disobedience, we were deserving of death. We were deserving. You know, death is in many forms. Number one, it is separation from God. See, any person who does not have fellowship with God is dead. You see, that's spiritual death. A disconnection from God is actually death. So when you see in the world today, people who are not in relationship with God, they are living dead. Amen. Because when God made us, he made us as spirits. Amen. See, you are not just the person I'm seeing. You see, what you are seeing, your flesh, is the body that contains the real you. Amen. The real you is your spirit. That's why when God made Adam and Eve, when he made Adam, what did he do? He molded him from the dust of the ground. But when he made from the dust, Adam did not move. Because the dust doesn't move. Then the Bible says God breathed into him the breath of life. When the Bible says when he did that, he became what? A living being, a living soul. He became living. So that spirit was not supposed to die. It was supposed to continue to give life to the body so that the body would never die. So it is separation from God. So you notice that Adam, after they disobeyed, God said, the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. But they did not die physically. In fact, Adam lived to how many years? About 800 years. 900 and something years of age. Why did he live so long? But he was already separated from God. And so the physical death was only a matter of time. Now, maybe at some point I will explain to you why they live that long. But then it says he has redeemed us. So Christ came, he redeemed us. And we said the word redeem means to buy back. Because when they obeyed Satan, they sold themselves to the devil. So they became the property, in the ownership of the devil. Now, people who don't know Christ, they may not know it, but the devil owns them. How does he own them? Anything he wants you to do as an unbeliever, you do. He can tell, you know, governments, leaders, people you see in the world who are perpetrating all kinds of evil, they are being controlled by the enemy. The Bible says, to whom you submit yourself to obey, to that person you become a slave. And so he is in control. So when you see many things happening in the world, you say, oh, why is God? No, it's not God. Man has already given ownership to the enemy. So you need redemption. You need to be bought back. Otherwise, the enemy will do anything. He will do anything to you. He will determine what you say. You know, people use cuss words and all of those things. It's not, amen. I wanted to say it's not you. But really, in reality, it is not you. In your real self, you will speak well. People who fight and argue and all of the things that we do, is that God's plan? What does God want you to do? He wants us to love, to care, and all of those things. That's God's desire. And but you need to submit to God. You need to come under his ownership, under his authority, and he'll begin to teach you how to change. Amen. Amen. And so he says, we've been bought back. We've been purchased back. We've been redeemed. Amen. Amen. And you know, a curse means damnation. That's what curse means. And it means that the person is condemned. The curse is the opposite of blessing. So Christ has bought us back. Hallelujah. Amen. From the curse, from the damnation of the law. You know, the law says if you do this, you get this. If you don't do this, this happens to you. We've been redeemed. Amen. Amen. You know, he became a curse. Now, we're talking about trading places. That's the title of this series, Trading Places. How many watched the movie Trading Places? Amen. I will recommend it to you for Easter. If you haven't seen it, it's a very good movie. Trading Places, somebody who was doing well, you know, in the business world. There was this guy who was just a low level person, you know, no purpose in life. And there were these two people. I don't want to give you the... But they swap places. That's why I call trading places. The poor one became rich, and the rich one became poor. Who has also seen or watched or read The Prince and the Pauper? It's the same kind of story. You can watch those two movies for Easter. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's the concept. And I believe maybe they got this concept from the story of Jesus. You see, Christianity can be described. What Christ did on the cross can be described as the great exchange. Amen. What was due to you, he took. Hallelujah. Amen. What you deserved. Because Jesus had to pay a price that you could not pay. Price for sin. Price for shame. Price for guilt. Price for all of our disobedience. We couldn't pay it. Because we need a person who has never sinned to pay that price. A sinner cannot pay his own price. Hallelujah. So Christ redeemed us from the curse. How did he do it? He became the curse. That is, he took on our curse. That's the great exchange. He took the curse that belonged to me. He took it on himself. Oh, what love. What love. You know that he would take what I deserved. He didn't deserve to be a curse. I deserve to be cursed. I deserve death. Jesus took the curse. And what? Because the Bible says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. You see, that's scripture. If people hang on a tree, it's because they've committed an offense, a terrible offense. The cross was meant for the vilest of sinners. But Jesus, the Bible says, he committed no sin. Even Pilate, who asked them to crucify him, he washed his hands off. He said, the blood of this man will not be on me, because I find no fault in him. No fault. So why did he die? He died because of you and I, to take our place. Amen. Amen. The great exchange. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you know, he said, it goes on in verse 14 of these. He said that the blessing of Abraham, You know, we have a good deal in Jesus. You know, you have people selling things and promoting. It's a good deal. The best deal in life is receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the best deal because he redeemed you from the curse so that you will have what? The blessing. The blessing. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's the great exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we're going to be looking at all the things that we traded with Jesus, that Jesus traded with us. Trading places. See, for our sake, he made him to be what? Sin. In the first scripture we read, what did he make him to be? A curse. Who deserved the curse? We, humanity. But he took the curse and gave us what? What a good deal. That's a good deal. Who would do such a thing? He said, for our sake, he made him to be sin. See, he never sinned. We are the ones who sin. You know, sin means it's not just what you do, what you fail to do. You see? See, people say, well, I didn't do it. I did this and all that. Anything that is good that you fail to do, it makes you a sinner. So sin has many ramifications. And, you know, sin brings condemnation. First, it condemns you. Every time you do what is evil, you are condemned. So when Jesus became sin for us, and that's the reason, if you know, if we're talking about it, we're doing this teaching, that's the reason for Easter. Jesus not only paid for your sin, he paid for the guilt. Come on now. The shame that is associated with sin, Jesus paid for it. So anyone who received Jesus as Lord and Savior, they should not be in shame anymore. No more shame for you. No more shame. Hallelujah. See, for our sake, he made him to be sin. Who knew what? No sin. He didn't know sin. So that what? In him, we might become the righteousness of God. So in one place, he replaced curse with what? Blessing. In this one, he replaced sin with righteousness. What a good deal. It sounds too good to be true, but it is true. Amen. Hallelujah. It is true. So if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer a sinner. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. And say, Pastor, you don't know what I did before I came to church. No. It's no longer about what you did or what you do. It's about what? What he did, what he has done. So the Bible is letting us know that, you see, the more you realize what Jesus has done, the less you will sin. There is some power that comes on you by believing that your sin has been paid for. It energizes your body. It brings a kind of grace to allow you not to continue to do the things you're doing. And you know, the Bible recognizes that we still commit sin, isn't it? But you are not what? A sinner. Adam made you a sinner. Jesus made you what? A saint. Yeah, a righteous person is a saint. A saint is not somebody who has died and gone to heaven. In Scripture, a saint is alive. Look at, if you read the book of all the books that Paul wrote, let's look at Corinthians. He wrote to the Corinthians, say, to the saints at Corinth or in Corinth. Now, if you read the book of Corinthians, in our own, you know, in my own estimation, they were not saints because they did some things that I would never do. So why will he start his letter by calling them saints? Because Christ has paid for the sin. You see. The penalty that Christ paid, the price that he paid, is greater than any sin you can ever commit in life. Hallelujah. That's the reason we love Jesus. No human person on earth, no person, no faith has ever described that your sin has been paid for. Most religions are trying to get you to do something that God will be pleased with you. No, Christianity tells you Christ has already done it for you. Trading places, the great exchange. So that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a great deal. What a good deal. I love that. And let me read it to you in the Living Bible. The Living Bible. Do you have it? It says, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him what? Our sins. Then, in what? In exchange. Glory to God. Don't you thank God for this exchange? Trading places. He poured God's goodness into us. It's already happened. It happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on that cross. Hallelujah. How about the Message translation? Look at the Message translation. It says, how, you say, in Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. Do you know when God looks at you, he doesn't see you as a sinner. What God sees, he sees what Christ has done for you. Jesus had to shed his blood on the cross. That blood is payment for every sin of every person on the face of the earth. Amen. Amen. And we'll be delving into this even more. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So we're talking about the great exchange. We exchange curses for what? For blessing. Sin for what? Righteousness. Glory to God. Still a good deal. Still a good deal. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. That though he was what? He was rich. Trading places. Yet, for your sake, say for my sake.
For my sake.
Don't you feel special now? Everything is happening for your sake. Maybe you've been looking down at yourself. You are so precious. See, people look down on themselves. They don't know how precious you are. In fact, the only way you can know your true value is to know what Christ paid for you. Do you know, if I'm going to pay for anything, if I came up and I said, what do you think this guitar is worth? Price? No, £400, whatever pounds. But you know, the price is actually what you will pay for it. That's the value, thank you, is what you will pay for it. And Louise, how much would you pay for her top? Sorry, I don't want to embarrass you. But you know, yeah, don't say. Now, you see, God wanting to buy you back to him. He didn't send an angel. Because you are worth more than an angel. You are more than an angel. You see, an angel was not made in the image and likeness of God. When God made us, he said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. You are made in the very image of God. The only person qualified to replace you is God. You are made in his image. Never, never look down at yourself. Whew. You are not a nobody. You are significant. For God to see the price he paid. He sent his only son to die so that he can win you back. How precious you must be. Amen. Say, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Became poor. That you, through him, through his poverty, might become rich. And this is true. You see, we were poor mentally. Mentally, we were poor. Because in our minds, we're thinking some nasty thoughts. Look at all that Jesus did. He paid for your nasty thoughts as well. He paid for them. All those things that you imagine in your head, he's paid for them. Because that's being poor. We were emotionally poor. We were spiritually poor. Amen. That's the big one. But he was not poor, you know, and he was materially rich. We were materially poor. Do you know that? It doesn't matter what you own in this world, it is compared to what God has, it's still poverty. Amen. But now we are able to access the riches of God because Christ has already. So when we teach, when you teach people having physical wealth, mental wealth, and all of those things, it is correct. Because Jesus became poor so that through his poverty we might become what? Rich. Say, I'm rich.
I am rich.
Hallelujah. Some people don't want to say it. They're thinking what their bank account is reading. Say, oh, you, Pastor, you don't know what my bank. Doesn't matter what your bank account reads. It is what Christ has done. That's the way to receive. The way to see, the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us by faith. It is, has to be through faith that you've got to believe that he has done it, and then you will see it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we still having a good deal here?
Yes.
The first deal was he replaced the curse.
Yes.
The next one was
righteousness.
And then what do we have here? Poverty. 2 Corinthians. And let's read the Amplified. I like the Amplified version also. Amplified of this one. You have this. For you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his astonishing kindness, his generosity, his gracious favor, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he exchanged. That's what I'm talking about. He wasn't, you know, he did it for you. It's for you. So that by his poverty, you might become rich, abundantly blessed. I am abundantly blessed. Amen. So who is getting the best deal? Who is getting a good deal here? We're all getting the good deal. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Trading places. Trading places. The great exchange. 1 Peter 2, in verse 23, says, who, when he was reviled, that is Jesus, when he was reviled, you know, when Jesus was going to the cross, they spat at him, they did all kinds of terrible things against him, they struck him with a stick, you know, the Bible says he was smitten, he was stricken, he was abused, he was reviled, they spoke, you know, all kinds of things, so you call yourself a king, the king of the Jews, why don't you deliver yourself? They did all kinds of things. You know why he took it? Because of you. The Bible says, like a sheep before his shearers, you know, he handed himself over and he was silent. He did not speak a word. Because if Jesus had spoken a word, if he had defended himself, he would have been justified and they would have said, look, you don't deserve to go to the cross. And so if he kept silent because of you and I. So that now you can speak up.
Amen.
You are not to keep silent. When there is injustice, you don't keep silent because Jesus delivered you so that you can now speak. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's keep reading. He was reviled. He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. We're going to be exploring the word justice even through this teaching. He judges righteously. Who himself bore what? Our sins. So he's repeating it again. He bore our sins. To carry. The word bore is carried. You know, he became our carrier. Our sin and sickness carrier. His own body on the tree. So when Jesus went to the cross, guess what he was taking to the cross? He was taking our sin, our sickness, our poverty, everything, our shame, our guilt, he took to the cross, but you know, thank God, and he nailed it there.
Amen.
See, he became a curse. He became sin So when they were nailing him, they were nailing your sin to the cross. And nailing your guilt to the cross. And now you cannot be paying for your sin anymore. Because that would be double jeopardy. Amen? Amen. And so, on the tree that we haven't died to sin. How did we die to sin? In him. Might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Say, I'm healed.
I am healed.
You have the right to refuse sickness in your body.
Amen.
Because of what Christ has done. This is so important. So there is exchange because he took the stripes. He took the stripes, all the wounding, so that you will receive what? The healing. Is this still a good deal? What's the first deal that we got? Curse, we replace curse with blessing. Sin for righteousness. Poverty for. And now we've got sickness for health. Great package. Trading places. Next time any of those things that Christ has paid for comes to your body, comes to your mind, tell them it's paid for. It's paid for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I want to use this just quickly. I'm going to go through what are the things that you are able to exchange with people? You. What thing are you able to, you know, to exchange something, to trade places with people? What are the things that you think you can exchange? You know, maybe let's talk about the children. You've been given a lovely, beautiful, nice lunch, your favorite meal. Your mom or dad has packed it for you in your beautiful Mickey Mouse lunchbox. Amen. Then you're going on. You know, when you've got your lunchbox, you can hardly wait for lunch. Even though you've had breakfast before you left home. As a teacher is teaching and all the things going on, what are you thinking of? Lunch time. In our time, it was a bell. The bell will ring throughout the whole school. When the bell rings, you know, some teachers just like to talk through the bell. I don't know why. Why would you be talking when the lunch time bell has rung? So guess what? We're not listening to anything he says. Then you get to the, maybe whatever, is the cafeteria or whatever, your dining hall or dining room. And then the teacher comes and say, you know, we have this child who didn't bring any lunch today. We'd like you to trade places. You say, oof, you're excited. No.
No way.
It's going to be hard for you to do that. But that's only lunch. You miss one lunch. When you get home, you can have dinner. But for that, you will find it difficult. But Jesus took your sin and gave you his righteousness. How about the youth among us? The youth among us. And maybe you have, do you have the picture for luxury? Let's look at the iPhone, the latest iPhone. Which one? What number is it now? 15. I think mine is 6. I've got 6 or something. Or is it 7? Oh, you got, yeah. Well, you know, for the young people, huh. So look at that. And then someone comes to me and says, you know, we have someone, you know, among us who wanted to show some love. Show some love. And, you know, maybe before now you've been saying, I love everyone. I love everyone. And then they say, why don't you exchange? Do you have the exchange? No show. It's not gonna happen. I want us to see the magnitude of what Christ did. Amen. What it takes to trade places with people. What it takes to trade places. Oh, let's look at the adults, the older ones. Let's look. Maybe you've got this luxury house that you've been able to purchase. Look at that. Woo! And you've just moved in. You just moved in. And then they come to you. Not even they come to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you. I'm going to say, no, I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. I think it's the devil. It's the devil. Oh, the devil doesn't want me to enjoy life. And they ask you to exchange. What's the one? Amen. My wife said, God forbid. It is written. You start quoting so many verses and scriptures. Amen. But that's what Christ did for you. That's what he did. So what will make him do that? John chapter 3, verse 16. What does it say? For God, so it's love. If you are able to exchange with somebody and take replace what you have with what they have, it has to be love. The person who loves you the most is God. And it's through his son, Jesus. He demonstrated it by giving us Jesus, his love. That's how you know how much he loves you. For God, so. That's why I use the word so. You could have said, for God loved the world. But he says, so is to qualify, it's to qualify the extent of that love. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Because nobody will exchange what he exchanged for you. Nobody. That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not what? Shall not perish, but have eternal life. Look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to do what? To condemn. So the word curse is damnation, condemnation. He didn't come to condemn. Jesus didn't come to condemn. As Christians, we should not be condemning people. We are here to tell them what Christ has done. Hallelujah. But to save the world through him. Praise God. I said, praise God. Let's rush quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Trading places. Thank you, Lord. All this is from God. All of these things that we've been talking about, it is from God. All this ability to exchange. Now we can have his riches, his blessings. Now we can have his blessings. Now we can have his righteousness. We actually have his righteousness because we have received Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. We've come under his ownership now. We're no longer under the ownership of the devil. Amen. It says, all this is from God who reconciled us to who? To himself. God has reconciled us to himself. That is, there was enmity. Reconciliation means that no more enmity, no more fighting, no more quarrel. All of the wrath of God that he needed to pour out on us, he poured it on Jesus. Reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry reconciliation, that we should now go out and be bringing people to Christ, telling them what Christ has done. Hallelujah. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not doing what? It's not counting people's sins against them. You see, there is accounting and there is legal. See, this law involved in all that Christ did for us. God is not counting your sins against you anymore. So whatever you do, if a believer sins, what should they do? They should confess it and ask for forgiveness. Your sin is not counted against you anymore. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Are you getting this? Your sin should not stop you from talking to God. Your sin should not stop you from coming to church. The best person to talk to when you commit sin is what? To God. because he is not counting it against you. His desire is a good father. His utmost desire is to have relationship with you, and the sin that will separate you from him, he has dealt with. He has put it on Christ. He has reconciled you to himself. He's not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are blessed. We are not cursed. We are blessed. We are healed in the name of Jesus. We are rich. Let the weak say what? And let the poor say, hallelujah.